This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Are brewmasters born or made? In North Carolina, it appears to be a bit of both. Take Eric Lars Myers, for example. Disguised as your average IT guy, Eric was spending his nights and weekends brewing beer in his backyard for about 13 years. He found the world of beer so interesting that he wrote a popular blog about it called TopFermented.com. And eventually, his inner brewmaster took over, and he left his day job to start a craft beer company called Mystery Brewing in Hillsboro. If you think you've heard that story before, probably have. Eric reports many versions of it in his new book, North Carolina Craft Beer and Breweries, and Eric Lars Myers joins me in the studio now. Welcome.
Thank you.
Tell me about your brewery, Mystery Brewing.
So my brewery is it's a very new craft brewery. We just opened up a couple months ago up in Hillsboro. And we're a little bit different than most other breweries out there in that we only do seasonal beers. So we just do sort of niche styles. We figure there's a lot of pale ales and porters and all these great beers out in the market already. And rather than competing in the same space, we're trying to do something a little different.
So you don't have a kind of a basic stock beer that you're going to be doing all the time?
No flagship beer.
No flagship beer. And do you think maybe in the future you'd sort of get to that?
Maybe, you know, there's always the thought that if it gets, popular, then we can stick on one. But for the most part, I think we're just going to try to keep it moving.
So what was the turning point for you that got you out of IT and into the pub?
It was really once I started writing the blog, I started getting more involved in the industry, and I went to the Craft Brewers Conference a couple times, and it's just a really inspiring place. You get to meet all these people in the industry, and it's just this incredible, friendly, congenial industry, and it was just very inspiring to be amongst all these people with the same kind of passion. And it really sort of convinced me that it was the right thing for me to do.
Probably gets even friendlier the later you go into the meeting.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the more beer flows.
So what's the scene here in North Carolina? My sense is that this place has kind of exploded since they changed the law here in terms of craft breweries.
Yeah, once Pop the Cap came through in 2006, we've about doubled the number of breweries that we had in the state. And I think we're looking at doubling it again in the next 3 to 5 years. I mean, we've just been riding this enormous wave.
Brew pubs really in all the cities, and some have more than one.
Yeah, many. Even Chapel Hill, which isn't that big, has two brew pubs in it.
Right. So what accounts for that? I mean, has there been this sort of latent, pent-up demand for...
You know, it's really funny. I think that one of the reasons that we're growing so well in the industry right now is because North Carolina was so late to the game in getting a craft industry going. And there were all these fantastic beer markets around the country that had these, you know, really well-established breweries and everything like this. And as soon as Pop the Cap came along with this influx of people from outside North Carolina moving into RTP and Charlotte and Wilmington and all these new places, you know, from other established beer cultures, as soon as that cap got lifted, I think what happened is that all these people were really excited to try their creative chops on new beers and everything. And it just created this wave of enthusiasm that we're still riding.
And you're from Maine.
I am from Maine.
What brought you to North Carolina?
My wife, who was not my wife at the time, got into grad school at UNC, and I followed her down.
The women's bring the men folk down.
That's how it works.
The story. So what got you interested in beer making?
My mom bought me a homebrew kit for Christmas once.
You were eight?
No.
Okay.
No.
anything to keep you busy, right?
Yeah, no, I was a couple of years out of college, and she bought me this homebrew kit for Christmas, and I made some really, really terrible beer and thought to myself, that can't be right. And sort of got, I'm a bit of a nerd, and so I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and so I kept on working on it until I felt like it was really good.
I tried making beer for a while. I had about a 2-year run. And what killed me, of course, was wild yeast spores.
Sure.
Which I'm told is actually not that. So it turns out you want to keep everything that you didn't put in your vat out because the yeast is floating around everywhere and you
sure.
put your own yeast in. But then I found out that some people thrive, breweries thrive on the wild yeast spore.
Absolutely. Especially in Belgium, they have a very long history of doing these wild fermentations, and America's really starting to get into it too. There's actually a new style recognized by the Brewers Association called American Wild Ale, and it's just people sort of capturing their local yeast and making sure that they have a really good culture of local yeast that's growing and doing what they want it to, so it's very controlled. But it's absolutely just open fermentation and allowing stuff to fall in it and ferment as it would.
So you stuck with it because you do have to... You do have to make a lot of bad beer before you make a good one.
True story, yeah. You do have to make a lot of bad beer before you figure out where you're going.
What's the distinction between – I mean, what's the threshold between a craft beer and the commercial beer like a Budweiser, for instance?
So the way the Brewers Association defines it is you have to be local, independent, and small. So it's a size issue and an ownership issue to sort of define craft beer. But I think if you talk to drinkers and fans, it really has a lot to do with intention and the passion behind the people who make the beer. So I think it is a lot more about approaching beer as an art and rather than just a business.
So it's not there's not a threshold, X number of barrels a year or that sort of thing?
The threshold is technically 2 million barrels. It looks like it's going to be raised up to 6 million barrels mm-hmm. a year, but that is a lot of beer. And by comparison, like I'm shooting to try to make 1,000 barrels this year.
Wow. Okay.
It's a very, very wide range.
And Budweiser, for instance, roughly?
100 million barrels.
Okay. A beer on the wall, 100 million barrels of beer.
Yeah.
We've got
it's a long song. But
So craft. And so, for instance, Sam Adams is still considered a craft brewery, which is
yep.
a huge.
And they're right about 2 million barrels a year.
All right. So what got you interested in doing the blogs, too, the idea that you would take a look at what other brewers are doing this day?
Well, I'm really interested in the industry. I find it a really fascinating industry. And because there's sort of this small, passionate art side to the industry as well as this large corporate part of the industry and sort of the battle between those I just personally find very interesting. And so starting to write about that was one way of me learning the industry on my way to, you know, what would hopefully be starting my own brewery. But a lot of it is just because I kind of really enjoy it. And like the interpolitics of it, I just find really fascinating.
And there's some fantastic stories about the brews in here in North Carolina. Tell us about Highland Beer.
Highland Beer started out, it was this really passionate home brewer and brewer down in Charlotte who wanted to get his own brewery going and finally found financing through a retiree at the time named Oscar Wong. They started up a brewery together called Highland Brewing in the basement of a pub in Asheville. And it's sort of exploded from there. They've done amazing things there now. John McDermott's no longer with the company, but they're the largest brewery in North Carolina now, putting out about 20,000 barrels a year, and they're in about 9 or 10 states now.
And I think Asheville's got like one brew pub for every 2 citizens?
Something like that, yeah.
It's pretty close, right? So, and then there's a couple of business partners, ex-military guys, who decided to get into this. And what they discovered was the old types, the idea that blue-collar working-class guys would never touch this was the thing. They realized that wasn't quite true anymore.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think it's, people have this idea that blue-collar workers are, the bud drinkers and this kind of thing. But I think no matter who you are, no matter where you are and what background you come from, things that taste good are nice, and it's good to go out and try it.
Yeah, but sometimes the beer you grew up on, that first beer when you were 7, that's the one. Hey, what's the story of Weeping Radish?
So Weeping Radish was the very first brew pub in the state, and they go back to Uli Benowitz, who founded Weeping Radish, was a German immigrant in the early 1980s, and thought it would be, he came in to do farming, and thought it would be really cool to start up this brew pub, and then found out that it actually wasn't legal to do in North Carolina at the time. So at that point in North Carolina history, wineries had just passed this law that allowed them to have restaurants on the same site as their wineries, and so Uli went to the legislature at that point and said, well, wait a second, why can't we do this with beer? And I guess took the same bill that they had just written for wine and basically crossed out wine across the entire bill and wrote in beer, and it passed with flying colors.
How a bill becomes law.
That's how it works.
We didn't know. Full Steam's kind of an interesting story here in Durham as well.
Yeah. So Full Steam is run by Sean Lilly Wilson, who actually is one of the people behind the Pop the Cap Amendment.
Which did what? Tell us what that did.
Oh, Pop the Cap was the thing that actually made the alcohol content in beer able to go from 6% alcohol in North Carolina up to 14.9% alcohol. So that is basically what helped beer explode throughout the state. And Sean, I think while he was working on Pop the Cap, sort of realized that this is a really cool industry to be in and has a very different twist in the industry than many people in the fact that he really wanted to make a very southern beer and a very agricultural beer. And so he started this fantastic brewery that is well worth visiting that is all based around southern products. So he's got a sweet potato beer and a beer made with corn grits and something with local basil and hickory smoked malt and all of these fantastic sort of visions of the South. mouth, you know, persimmons, and it's just a really wonderful idea.
Now, look, is there a chance that we might just get a little too precious with beer and start putting stuff in there that just flat doesn't belong?
Yeah, sometimes, but I think it's part of the sort of overall experimentation of the industry. You know, we're still a very young industry, even if the people in the industry feel like that we've been around forever. You know, 30 years, 40 years is not a really long time in terms of the global scale of beer. And so I think part of it is people trying to find ways of being new about the product. And it's, you know, in a way, it's, if you know, we talk about art again, it's sort of like finding your way into a new genre that, in a way that we, you know, you kind of have to do in order to make a new product.
So it's going to keep growing, the industry, you think, in North Carolina?
Oh, absolutely. Like I say, I think we're doubling the number of breweries that we have in the next 3 to 5 years, and I think we'll probably be the destination on the East Coast before long.
Well, Eric, thanks so much for talking with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Eric Lars Myers is the head brewer, CEO, and founder of Mystery Brewing Company and the author of North Carolina Craft Beers and Breweries. Going to sign books at Carborough Bottle Shop tonight at 7 o'clock, then again in Wilmington on Friday at Cape Fear Wine and Beer. To find out more, you can go to topfermented.com. Next up, Neil deGrasse Tyson, the star of stars, talks about the future of science on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.